Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Father, as we gather this morning, your word is truth. Help our feeble minds and our weak hearts, Father, to be restored to the joy of our salvation. Father, help us to experience that if we never have before, that we will profess Jesus and be filled with the joy of our salvation. And we will understand the realities of what that means. And we will operate in the joy of our salvation each and every day. Let us not leave this place with frowns upon our faces or negativity in our hearts, because you have saved us through your Son. And you did it all for your glory. So let us rejoice in you today. Speak as only you can. Change us. Give us clean hearts. Restore to us the joy of our salvation. Amen. These are powerful words of truth, Psalm 51, from an awesome man of God who is in the most desperate situation of his life. He had followed God so closely, called even a man after God's own heart. And then standing on a rooftop, lust had captured his heart. And he had acted on that lust. And he had killed a man to cover up his sin. And now he stands before the God that he had followed for so long, and he feels so far away. And this truth, God hit me with the power of these words this week. Have you ever had those weeks, you know, where you're reading or you hear something or just something happens in life and it just slaps you in the face, right? And you're just overcome by that? Because it points out something in life that's missing or something you're not doing. I got smacked like that this week. Tuesday, I went to this discipleship conference in North Carolina. Don't tell the South Carolina guys. But Pastor Jimmy Scroggins was preaching there. And he's actually the one that created that tool that we handed out to these families. And he's preaching the last session. And at this last session, he challenged all of us to remember why we went into ministry. Obviously, it's a calling by God. You must be called to do this. But there are also other reasons, things you see in your life, things that you want to see happen. His was getting 12 students in a bus to go on a mission trip. And as I sat and listened to him ask that question, God smacked me with that truth. Because the answer to the question was, 15 years ago, I accepted a call into ministry because I wanted the young people of Fort Lawn to experience a home and a family with Jesus and with His people, the church. I desired nothing more than to see students come to know Jesus and be wrapped in His love through the arms of the local church. I saw their brokenness, the broken homes that they came up in, and my heart was filled with love and compassion for them. There was nothing at that time that I wouldn't do. Nothing. Just so they could feel the love of Jesus. I sold a car, bought an Explorer so I could take them to ball games and to church and out to eat, and spent 5 or 6 nights a week with them, coaching basketball and softball. Had no business doing that. Helping with homework, not math, and teaching them all about Jesus. And it wasn't this totally enjoyable thing, right? I don't know if you know it, but little kids, middle schoolers, sometimes high schoolers, they can stink. And so we'd go play a ball game and then pile in our Explorer, and the stink ghosts of those kids would ride in my car for 3 or 4 days afterwards. It's terrible. And Amy didn't fully understand it. God hadn't worked in her to bring her to that same place in her life as I was. And so we had fights, right? She didn't understand why we'd take these kids out to dinner and buy their supper with money we didn't really have. Or why I invested countless hours in them. But as she saw them grow, as she spent that time with them, she too came to know those kids as our kids. Our lives were lived mostly for our ministry to those kids, our spiritual family. And I tell you all that because this truth hit me that this time with these children was so vivid in my mind and so impactful in my life, even now upon reflection upon it, because I was serving and ministering in the joy of my salvation. The joy of my salvation. I was right where I was supposed to be, because operating in the joy of your salvation is right in the sweet spot of life. That's the first truth I want you to grab today. We must operate in the joy of our salvation. God's not glorified in just going through the motions. He wants you fully invested and fully enjoying exactly where He's put you, when He's put you, for the purpose He's put you there. He wants you joyful in that. But what is the joy of our salvation? I'm glad you asked. The joy of our salvation, the joy of our salvation is the incomparable, overwhelming, supernatural feeling that comes with having our sinful brokenness mended by the grace of God through Christ. That's a lot. I'm going to say it again. The joy of our salvation is the incomparable, overwhelming, supernatural feeling that comes with having our sinful brokenness mended by the grace of God through Christ. It's this supernatural emotion. It's why Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 6, why he can write, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last times. In this you rejoice." That is the joy of salvation. See, when you understand that you are an enemy of God in sin, that you have nothing good about you, that you are dead, and despite your standing as an enemy, the Heavenly Father sent His only Son, Jesus, to die for you. And He resurrected Jesus so that we can know and trust that surely for all time death is defeated. And if He can defeat death, He can surely defeat sin. And when you know that, and when you put your faith in Him, when you understand even a hair of that truth, you can't help but be filled with joy. You can't help but rejoice that you have been loved with this great love. And the hope that that gives us in this broken and sinful world fills us with joy. And that joy, I pray you feel that. I pray you got that right now. That joy is the rocket fuel for our lives. It is when you can operate in the joy of your salvation that you can work hard and feel like it's nothing. You can conquer obstacles. You can suffer willingly. You can do the hardest things in life and then look around for something else to do because you just filled up with it and you can't contain it anymore. Because you understand that everything that you're doing is done for your God. The one and only God who is for us. And when you understand that God is for you, that the one and only God who created everything perfectly and holds the world together, that that God is for you, that joy makes everything else seem very, very small. And when you're filled with that joy, there's no room for anything else. Even the flickering and the claws of sin that grab you get washed away as you're just filled up with more and more joy. So you don't remove something by just sucking a little bit out of it, right? You got a glass and you just suck a little bit of that sin out of this glass that's in there. No, what you do to get that out of there is you pour something else in so much that it takes all the other away. And that's the joy of your salvation. It is an endless well that can be poured out and poured out and poured out that you'll never get tired of. And I just want to ask you today, is that where you are? I asked a brother this morning, he said that is, and I see it all over his life. Is that where you are? Are you operating in the joy of your salvation? Are you still loving and ministering to people with the same passion now as you had at the moment of your salvation? Or at the moment where you were most filled with spiritual joy? Is that growth and fruit, is it still happening in your life in the same way? Are you still that caught up in it that you can't see anything else because you are just too filled up with Jesus and what He's calling you to do? Because that's where we got to be. The vision of Harmony Baptist Church to make disciples of all people in all places to the glory of God is a colossal vision. And it happens. It will happen if each and every one of us, every member, every visitor, every guest, every whatever you want to call them, everybody that's here today, everybody that's engaged with us, if you're operating out of the joy of your salvation, this can happen in a great and mighty way. 11 people turned into 1 million in 100 years. Because they were sold out in the joy of their salvation. Imagine what 250 can do. And that joy in your life should be just as potent now, whether you've been a Christian 60 years or 1 week. Because Jesus hadn't changed. The power that brought that miracle in your life hasn't changed. And we have some people here operating out of the joy of their salvation. It's a beautiful thing to see. 25 people. I preached a vision sermon 1 year ago. 25 people have joined our church in that time because brothers and sisters in Christ are engaging them in gospel conversations. Those that are operating out of their joy are going out and living those everyday conversations exactly the way we commissioned those earlier to do. We've had thousands hear the gospel through events and through that daily missional living. Yet I said this truth struck me, right? And I'm pumped up about it and just can't even think straight. I'm so pumped up about what this truth was today because it struck me this week. When he asked me why I got into the ministry and I remembered the joy I had then, I looked at my life and I realized that I no longer feel the same joy. Now, where I was sitting there, I didn't have the same joy as I had 15 years ago. And I don't want you to mistake this. I love all of my brothers and sisters here at Harmony Baptist, this beloved church. But somehow in the midst of professional ministry, my joy has been diluted. The weight of administration and the burdens of people I love have caused me to lose focus on that joy. That reality hit me right there sitting on that pew. That love used to drive everything that I did. And sin, too, is taking a toll. I, like every Christian, is constantly in a state of sin and repentance. And that just marks a Christian life. But placing sin on an already distracted mind diluted the joy of my salvation even farther. And sometimes I just find myself going through the motions. And brothers and sisters, that is not okay. And the reality that hit me after I process through that a little bit as if, although my job's stressful, I spend hours a week with the Lord, hour upon hour. And if I am struggling to find the joy of my salvation, some of you must be struggling just as much, if not more, to rejoice in that joy, to remember the joy of your salvation. And there's some telltale signs. If you're here today, I want you to look at your life. Look at your life. Gauge whether you've lost the joy of your salvation. Are you constantly negative? Are you critical of everything around you? Are you pessimistic about everything? The glass is always half empty, and it don't even look that good. Are you apathetic about life? Do you just go through the motions? Like, you might check off your Bible app and say, yep, I did that today. And I prayed before I ate my food. And it's just nothing. There's no communication with God. It's just lip service. Is that where you are? Because let me tell you, negativity, pessimism, and apathy are not listed in the gifts of the Spirit. They ain't there. That ain't spiritual fruit. That's rotten fruit. And people around it say, ooh. And those are signs that you've lost the joy of your salvation. And I don't think I'm alone in this struggle. In fact, I think the danger of losing or diluting the joy of your salvation is there for everyone. So I want us all to know that there's a way out. I found it this week. God put it there. Just as He always does. He makes a way. Your joy can be restored. I know that's unbelievable for some of you because you've been caught in negativity and pessimism and apathy for so long that you can't even see how to get out of it. It's just who you are. But it's not. Because it's not of the Spirit. But as Jesus tells His disciples about salvation and pertaining to all things spiritual in Luke 19:26, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. You don't have to live that way any longer. Your joy can be restored. How is it possible? You got to ask. Just as David does. Ask God to restore the joy of your salvation. And some of you sitting there thinking, oh boy, here we go, pray. Of course, the church answer, we got to pray. But prayer is so much more than that. You may be thinking you prayed over and over and over and seen nothing. But my question to you then would be, how broken and repentant are you in your prayers? Where is your heart at when you lift these things up to God? Look at David's words here, and I'm going to read Psalm 51, 1 through 15 again. Look at these words. These are not words of somebody mumbling to God, going offering lip service. Listen to the heart of David as he prays this prayer. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation. And my tongue will sing aloud with your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. This is a desperate plea of a desperate man who wants nothing more in life than to return to his God, to have his relationship restored. A desperate prayer of repentance and submission and praise. And my question, brothers and sisters, is when is the last time you prayed this way? This week, I sat on my couch Tuesday when I got home. I talked to some of my brothers that I had been at this conference with on the way home and just reflected as I put the kids to bed and the distance I felt from the joy of my salvation. And I sat on my couch with tears streaming down my face and prayed for God to restore me to the joy of my salvation. That's the type of prayer that is needed in every man, woman, and child. Because that prayer has a heart behind it that's broken and repentant. God doesn't need lip service in prayers. He doesn't need you going through the motions. He needs prayers where we get down on our hands and knees and we cry out, help me. Clean me. Purge me. Draw near to me, God. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. And we need men and women and children that will pray those prayers, that desire to see God move in them and restore them, that are broken over their sinfulness. Then we will see Him restore us. Then we will see Him as He truly is, magnified and glorified in our lives. Is there a desperation in your life for the joy of salvation like this? If there's not, you need to ask yourself, why? Why have you not fallen on your face? Why are you not broken? Why do you not want the joy of your salvation restored? And if you're praying this way, calling out to God to restore you, then you can't grow weary of doing it. This isn't just a one-time prayer. This is you going over and over to God in this prayer, a continual drinking of the well of joy that is Jesus. Y'all ever been really thirsty? Like back when you were kids and you get really thirsty, you just drink out of the water hose or lap water out of this dirty stream. Like thirsty. The dryness of your lips, the thickness of your tongue. And you just can't get enough of that water because you're that thirsty. That's the type of thirst you got to have for the joy of your salvation. We got to return over and over and over again, drinking deeply from this well every day, preaching the gospel to ourselves, meditating on the fact that our Savior Jesus Christ is alive and at work in us and in all the world. Because we need the gospel as much. You need the gospel as much right now as you did it on the first day of your salvation. It's a constant cycle of brokenness, repentance, gospel, returning to that sanctified place as an image bearer of God and His perfect design. Is that the life you live? Are you hung up in that brokenness? Repent. So we got to stay thirsty for this truth. Thirsty the way the psalmist writes in 42:1, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for You, O God. Because Jesus, the Son of God, is the well from which we drink the joy of our salvation. And it never dries out. You'll never return and it'll be empty. And that the water from this well, the water of joy in this well, never fails to satisfy. Never. And our repentance, it turns us away from sin, but our bowing to drink from this joyous well of salvation gives us the spiritual passion we need to live lives of love and compassion. It's our second truth for today. When we recognize daily in the joy of our salvation the love and compassion that Jesus has for us, then we must share that love and compassion with others. We must share it. David says in verse 13, when he has the joy of his salvation returned, he says, then I will teach transgressors Your ways, and sinners will return to You. One naturally follows the other. You have the joy of your salvation, then you show love and compassion through the gospel. And those that live in rebellion against God are saved. Because you're obedient to the call to make disciples. To fail to show love and compassion to a lost and broken world is to prove that you're drinking from the wrong well. Don't drink from the wrong well. Because it is impossible to be loved the way we are as sinners saved by grace and not pour that out into the world around us. Impossible. Because this love and compassion passes from Jesus to us and then on to others is the only way to become a church that makes disciples of all people in all places to the glory of God. We got to be filled up with it. And I challenged us last year, and I challenge us again. Not only challenge, I ask, I pray, I plead for you to be all in on this mission. All people, all places, all glory, all in. Will you, as our partners in ministry, those that God has placed here at Harmony Baptist, will you plead desperately every day for the joy of your salvation? Will you then use that passion to live lives of love and compassion to the world around us? 15,000 people within 5 miles of our church are lost, are unchurched today. They need the gospel from you. We can't fit 15,000 in here, but we can go and disperse to 15,000. And they need it, and God is worthy of it because He's not honored in their disbelief. He is not glorified in unbelief. So I'm asking you to go all in again in helping them come to know the joy of their salvation. And how do you go all in? A part of it is you joining Harmony Baptist Church as members and using your gifts in the ministry that God has at Harmony Baptist Church, engaging in Sunday school and small group and growing in Christ to go then and reach the lost. We'd love for you to go all in with us as you're here today. God didn't bring you here by accident. You didn't like just stumble in here. And we love that He brought you here, and we want to see how He will use you. How you as a fully engaged disciple, full of the joy of your salvation, can be used to change the world around you. That's not too big a dream. You can do that. I've seen it happen. For those of you that are already members, or even if you aren't, just being all in on this vision, using every part of your life to bring glory to God. Seeing people come to Jesus isn't mainly done through programs that we have. It's not done through Harvest Fest or sports camp or Sunday school or small group or even out here. Seeing people come to Jesus is done through the day in and day out, life on life, ordinary relationships that you form that then have gospel conversations that come out of those. That's how evangelism is meant to be done. It's not a program. It's life. And this vision is huge. I drew a picture of it the other day, and I drew little South Carolina on the whole globe and drew arrows out from this little tiny place going into all the world. And I am not nearly a good enough preacher to impact that wide a spread. I need your help. We need your help. Together, all in with the joy of our salvation, little old Harmony Baptist Church can make a dent in the lostness of the world. We've talked about how it already has. Baptist churches are in Brazil because of people that left here. Thousands of people worship in Rock Hill every week because God planted us here and we planted somebody else there. God can use us. And the vision isn't to become a bigger and bigger church. It's ultimately to see more and more people escape the wrath of God and rejoice in the joy of their salvation in Jesus. We don't need to be bigger. We need the kingdom to be wider. God to be more glorified because He is worth it. He is worth it. Being all in this morning may mean that you act right in this moment on what God is calling you to do by putting your faith in Jesus for the first time and experiencing the joy that comes from having a relationship, a right relationship with the Almighty God, your Creator. Have you been living in the brokenness of sin? Looking for a home in this broken world? Trying to have broken answers fix your brokenness? I want you to know that there is a home for you with Jesus. There is a home with you for Jesus. He alone can satisfy the longings of your broken heart. He alone can give you a new heart and a new life. So I pray that you will go all in through faith in Jesus this morning and see the joy that comes from life in His family. Let us pray. Holy Father, I pray that as that deluded joy has again become an overwhelming joy in my life, it will do the same in others, Father, that they will repent, that they will fall on their faces, that for the first time some of them will say, I believe. And Father, I pray that you will then use them as only you can to change the world around them, to be light in the darkness. And I pray, Father, that they then will go daily and draw from the well as they read your word and as they pray and as they meditate on your glory, that, Father, they will drink from that well, that they can run and not grow weary, that they can go out and suffer gladly, rejoicing, because you are the God of their salvation. Make that true in our lives today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.